A Metro Detroit cancer specialist applauds the foundation's efforts to address a long-standing need, increasing the number of people of color who participate in clinical trials. The Bristol-Myers Squibb Foundation has offered a new round of scholarships and internships for medical students to help recruit people from underrepresented or disadvantaged communities to join the trials. Wayne State Professor of Oncology Haley Thompson directs outreach and engagement for the Karmanis Cancer Institute. She tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter, patients can sometimes respond more positively to a doctor who shares their background.
When we decrease that social distance between a healthcare provider and a patient, we know that communication is stronger. There's more relationship building. Patients ask more questions. We see that definitely that data. So it would stand to reason based on that, that when a Black physician might approach a Black patient around participating in a clinical trial, which is essentially research, that they might be more open and more willing to participate in that work because they're being asked by someone who is more similar to them in terms of group membership and culture and experiences, right? But also it may be the case that those providers, those physicians may be communicating more effectively with those patients as well. However, I think that's only one part of the problem or one piece of the puzzle.
Well, what would you say are some of the other parts? Does it seem that people of color oftentimes are more reluctant than others to join in these clinical trials?
I think there are multiple reasons. I think you have to look at the patient level. And a lot of times it's just a lack of knowledge about what a clinical trial is. I was recently talking with some of my community partners and colleagues around the fact that, you know, it has the word trial in it, right? Trials don't necessarily have great connotations for many groups or for many people. And there's not necessarily a lot of public awareness about the purpose of clinical trials and the role that trials and research play in disease prevention and disease treatment, right? Or quality of life when you're coping with disease or illness. For treatment trials, these research trials that are looking at innovative ways to treat a disease. You know, I work in a cancer center, so cancer clinical trials are a huge part of what we do. You have to be treated at that setting, right? You have to actually be there. So we have to really think about access to healthcare. Do people of color have equal access to the settings which clinical trials are being offered? And any issue that comes up in terms of barriers to access to healthcare are similar to the barriers to access in clinical trials. So we think about transportation, childcare, other types of competing demands in terms of being able to kind of cover the cost of one's life, food insecurity, all those things are going to come into play and potentially be barriers to participating in a clinical trial as well. There's a lot of research that shows that oftentimes African Americans and other people of color are not asked, right? And that has to do to some degree with biases within our healthcare systems and our providers, maybe making assumptions that some people may not be interested in trials or maybe too difficult to explain the trial or persuade them to participate in the trial. So that's a piece of it too, because when people understand what clinical trials are about and it's explained well and they are asked in an appropriate way, people are interested. I think it's a little bit of a myth to say that people just don't trust trials or just not interested in the trial. There are a lot of factors that influence people's interest. I think another factor, though, that is also really key here that is not talked about as often, and it depends on who is sponsoring the trials, are the eligibility criteria. And sometimes people are not eligible for the trials because of comorbidities, right? Other chronic conditions or diseases they may have that might disqualify them for the trial. And sometimes those disqualifying conditions really don't need to be there. They would not necessarily affect the outcomes of the trial.
I've talked with some people who will still bring up to me those infamous Tuskegee experiments where they had 400 Black men with syphilis and were never treated or even told what the experiment was about. And that still seems to resonate with some people, you know, that they really either have a fear or a suspicion of any kind of clinical trials. Have you found that that is a factor as well?
I think, yes, that certainly is something that is part of a collective memory and influences the decision of some around trials. And it's important that we remember that. But I think people also note and look to current day racism in healthcare and their own experiences or the experiences of their friends and family members of having negative experiences in healthcare settings or negative experiences with research today that have just as much of an influence as Tuskegee. That's something we can do something about, right? How we treat people today in 2024. How do we make clinical trials more easily understood by the general population? How do we make it easier for them to participate? And how do we help people understand the protections that are in place? Those are things that we can tackle today that don't have anything to do with Tuskegee.
Well, on the other side of it then, when you look at what is currently happening with clinical trials, if it sounds like most of the participants are white in these trials, How much does that throw off the results or affect whatever comes from these trials and what they could do for the total population?
It's a huge issue, and you're absolutely right. If we don't have diversity in our clinical trials, then we don't have a complete picture about the impact of the interventions that we're testing. Prevention trials are supportive care trials. Populations are different, right? Whether it be due to ancestry or genetic factors or because of cultural reasons, different groups of people are different, and we have to have that representation in our trials to really understand how well certain strategies work across different groups of people. It really is a significant limitation when we don't have that diversity in our samples for our trials. There's ongoing work here in Detroit at Karmanos and across the country addressing this issue. I oversee our office, Karmanos' Office for Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement. And with our community partners, just regular people who want to participate in our work around cancer prevention and control, we've created a video where we've talked about clinical trials. It has diverse physicians and scientists in our video talking about clinical trials. It has cancer survivors who talk about their experiences on cancer clinical trials. And we've seen increases in people's knowledge about trials and a shift in their attitudes about trials, where people are much more interested in participating in clinical trials. We see increases in also their belief that people of color should be a part of clinical trials. And that's just from, again, our community-informed video. That's a strategy that we want to disseminate throughout our hospital and even outside of our hospital and university to other parts of the country. I have a colleague at Wake Forest University who has a whole program targeting providers, healthcare providers. It's called Just Ask. And it tries to break down the barriers for healthcare providers, making sure that they consistently offer clinical trials to all their patients, regardless of race, ethnicity, or other demographics.